Third John. Is anybody not in school? I know Josh is not. Does anybody else not? Wow.
Well, right now I'm not.
I started school today, and guess what? I didn't go.
Wait, really?
Because I don't have class on Wednesdays. I didn't ditch. But technically, I didn't go to school the first day of school. Verse 12. Yes, I go to school still. I'm in college. If you can see 3 John verse 12 with your eyeballs, say, got it. That's pretty good. Okay. Got it. Okay. Let's stand on our feet, and we're just going to read one verse. Then we're gonna read the conclusion of 3 John on Sunday. So it's kind of a cliffhanger, because we're not closing it up just yet. So 3 John verse 12. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been able to come together and study your word and worship you in song, and we pray now as we turn to your word that you would speak to us in a way that we've never experienced. Speak to us something new, something fresh. That we can apply to our hearts and to our lives and just grow deeper in you each and every day. We pray that you would remove any distractions in this room or outside of this room or distractions in our mind, and that we could just fully focus on you and what you have for us tonight. Please fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and let everything that I say be directly from you to the hearts of your people. And we pray this in your name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have a seat. So, we've been flipping through the, photo album of the family of 3 John, kind of, if you could, you can call it that. But we've been flipping through the photo album, seeing some of the family, you know, getting to know the family. And now we arrive at the last person of the photo album. And I would honestly say, though it is the last, it is last but not least. Or they've saved the best for last. So, we've seen Gaius, who is like, he's like the grandpa in the photo album that you're like, how did you do all of that in your lifetime? Like, he's like, oh yeah, I was a pilot when I was 18, and then I moved to Latin America, and then I lived there for like 5 years, and then I moved back, and then like started a family, and then like became a lawyer because I liked law, but then I decided to leave that and become a farmer. That's why we live in Modesto now. Like, I mean, that's a real thing. Like, sometimes it seems like our grandparents or our great-grandparents lived like 800 lives. You know what I mean? Where you're like, how'd you do so much? How'd you do it? And then, so it's like, you know, that grandpa we want to be like. But we also looked at Diotrephes, who is like the crazy uncle that Thanksgiving Day, you are hoping that he doesn't get up and make a speech like he always does. You know that uncle, that crazy uncle that is just crazy. Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, maybe it's not an uncle, maybe it's like your second cousin twice removed that you're just like, that guy is crazy. And like, you try not to sit next to him during Thanksgiving dinner, you know? But today, we're looking at Demetrius. And he's the cool uncle. He's that uncle that was like just a little bit older than you, so he like had authority, but he was also super cool, you know? Right? Does everybody have an uncle like that? Or is... Yeah, right? See? Okay, I thought. Or maybe the aunt that is like always hip and happening. I have a hip aunt and a cool uncle. They're in different parts of the family. But this is the cool uncle, like, that like teaches you how to do tricks off the diving board and like skateboarded and is just cool. And he's the one that at like the family gatherings that you want to sit next to and also not sit next to the crazy uncle. So we're looking at Demetrius. Here's what we know about him. We know that he was a Christian, most likely, pretty much certainly, in the city that Gaius lived in. Because remember, 3 John is written to Gaius. So all of these people are probably in the same city and same church as Gaius. In verse 11, John tells us to imitate what is good. and not what is evil. That's what we looked at on Sunday. I'm sure you guys remember. And Diotrephus, he was the evil. Diotrephus was really saying, John was saying, don't imitate Diotrephus because he's prideful. His pride consumed him. Remember we looked at that, I think it was last Wednesday. But when he says, imitate what is good in verse 11, he's talking about Demetrius. Demetrius was a good dude. One thing that's very clear about him is that he had a good testimony. I believe our passage says it twice, good testimony. Your testimony is good. Does anybody know what a testimony is? Yes, Chloe. A story, ooh, yes. Who else raised their hand? Jared. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anybody else? Testimony. What's a testimony? I heard a test on Monday. Hopefully you don't have a test on Monday. You
do. Test on Monday.
No.
Yeah,
a test on Monday.
Test on Monday.
Oh, that's rough. That is rough. I'm sorry. So a testimony. Really, like, basically, if we boil it down, it means to affirm that someone has seen or heard or experienced something. So here's where we get this from. We get this from court, from like the court system. So when you're in court, so say Keely kidnapped my puppy. She broke into my house, kidnapped my 80-pound Great Dane puppy, and I was furious. So I took her to court. I was like, Keely kidnapped my puppy. I'm upset because that's my baby. And she took her. And then what I would do is I would have my lawyer or whoever else, I would have him call witnesses. And then witnesses would come up and they would give a testimony. Yes, they would give a testimony. And what they would be saying is either Keely is most definitely the dog napper. I saw her take someone else's dog just 2 weeks ago, so I wouldn't be surprised. Or they're gonna say, Keely loves all dogs and would never take a dog from someone like Isaac, and especially would never take a Great Dane, because my Great Dane probably weighs like 2 times you. She's huge! But this is what it boils down to. It's a testimony, a proof of witness. Like, you're a witness that can prove that it's true. So Demetrius, if he was on trial to be a Christian, he would be guilty as charged. Everybody that went to his church would say, yeah, that guy's a genuine, holy fire, 100% Christian all the way, no doubts. Which is a good thing. We want to be guilty of being Christians. If we are ever on trial for being a Christian, we want to be guilty right away. We don't want there to be any question. People around us should know that person is a Christian. And this is important because Jesus told us to judge based on the fruit that is produced. So if I've got a tree in my backyard, maybe it's a coconut tree, because everybody has coconut trees in their backyard, and it's really tall, and I like rely on it every single day for my coconut water. And then one day I walk out, and I'm like, whoa, mom and dad, the coconut tree is producing cherries. Then, at that moment, they would say, son, I'm sorry to tell you that you are insane. Our tree has never had coconuts on it. It is, in fact, a cherry tree. And then I would be like, no, I'm insane. We judge trees based on fruit. And Christians, we judge them based on their actions. That's what Jesus is calling us to do, to say that when someone is unchristian, they produce evil actions. That is their fruit. And so we look at that fruit and say, the tree is evil. The tree is apart from God. But when that tree, when the Christian, or when the person becomes a Christian, they should stop producing evil fruit and start producing good actions. Start producing that genuine good fruit. And then we would look at that tree and say, that is a Christian tree. Are you following the metaphor? You know what I'm saying? Tree people? Yeah? Not tree people. There's no tree people. We're not talking about Lord of the Rings. So today, our main focus, we're going to look at three ways that Demetrius was able to maintain a good testimony, and then in return, we're going to see how we can maintain a good testimony. So let me go over my 3 points. I was going to have them up there because they're kind of long, but if you're taking notes, you can write them down. I'll go through them pretty slow. So first, Demetrius, first he walked in truth. Walked in truth. Second, Demetrius imitated good. He imitated good, not evil. You don't have to write all that, just imitated good. And then third, made God his standard. Demetrius made God his standard. So first, he walked in truth, he imitated good, and three, he made God his standard. So we're just going to look at those points briefly, because you guys should know these pretty well. But Demetrius is just going to show us how that translated into a good testimony. So, first, Demetrius walked in truth. Demetrius, in verse 12, we see Demetrius had a good testimony from the truth itself. So Demetrius knew the truth. And not only did he know it, but he knew it so well to be the truth, the only truth, that he allowed it to change his life completely, to change it from the inside out. He was transformed by the truth. And so what we would have seen in Demetrius was a natural desire to obey the commandments that God has set, because he knows that they are true, that they have a true eternal impact, that God would say, don't do this, because it would impact us for eternity, because it would have true consequences. And then we would also see in Demetrius, because he walked in truth, we would see that he would have a natural love for the church. And when I say the church, I don't just mean the building itself. Like, we wouldn't see Demetrius like gently painting the building of the church. Like, I love this place. It's so beautiful. No, he would be loving the people in the church, the people that come and meet. That's what we mean when we say the church. So he would have a natural love for the people of the church, the individuals. And so that when that love for the church, when it is natural and built upon, then it can go beyond to a love for the world and a love for those that do not yet know God. So what we'd see in Demetrius, because he walked in the truth, he would have this natural desire to obey God. It would be natural. It would be genuine. He wouldn't just be doing it because everybody does it, or because he's afraid of God, or because he wants to keep his parents happy. He'd be doing it out of a genuine desire. And he would have a natural love and respect for every single person in the church, every single Christian person. So we see that he walked in truth. And that was a way that he maintained a good testimony. But also, Demetrius imitated God, or good. He imitated good. That's our second point. In verse 12, it says, Demetrius had a good testimony from all. And when it says all, it means from all the Christians around him. So this means that he produced good fruit. He was a genuine Christian tree that would produce good actions. And you can only produce good actions, like we looked at on Sunday, by imitating what is good. And we talked about this on Sunday, so I'm not going to go into super detail about it, but in Mark 10, verse 18, Jesus said that there is none good but God. And so when we imitate good, our role model is God, because he is the only true good. He is the only true perfection. And so Demetrius would be a man who sought to be more like God in everything that he did. He had a goal, always, to be more like Christ, less like the world, and to treat others the way God wants them to be treated, and to love others the way that Jesus loved us. So Demetrius walked in truth, he imitated good, and then finally, Demetrius made God his standard. Verse 12, it also says, Demetrius had a good testimony from the truth. Here's what's interesting about this. You have to notice that he was not a testimony to the truth, but the truth was a testimony to him. So what that means is that he wasn't the standard for what is true, but the truth was his standard. The truth was the standard that he lived by. That was the standard in his life. And we can find the standard that God sets for us through the truth in his word. So we see in God's word what we should be aspiring to live like. You know, we talked about the Olympics when on Sunday we talked about this, when someone like gets that good dive off the diving board and then they set the standard. Well, for us as Christians, our standard is God, because he is perfect. If God is our standard, we will always be wanting to grow deeper, always have more to grow. If man is our standard, we'll eventually get to a point where we've grown enough, or we'll set somebody who is less mature as a standard, and we'll say, I'm in a good place, so I don't need to grow anymore. But with God as our standard, we will always need to grow deeper and deeper. And that is how, that's another way that Demetrius maintained a good testimony. God was his standard. The word of God is what he lived by. He didn't compare himself to other Christians. He didn't compare himself to those who were worse than him. But he compared himself to God and sought to live in godliness, sought to live like God, which is a huge thing to say, in everything I do, I want to live more like God and less like myself, to have that goal and have that desire. But Demetrius was able to do it, and that is how he maintained a good testimony. So now, as we come to a close, we see the example of a good testimony from Demetrius. And with that example, we see that he maintained it through walking in truth, through imitating good, through making God his standard. And so this can be almost like a rubric. I know we're back in school, so you guys know what a rubric is, right? Yeah, everybody knows what a rubric is. Okay, so rubric is when you write an essay, it's that thing that says, if you want 100%, do this, like, use big words, don't make mistakes, make it like 5 pages long or whatever, 2 pages long, and make a good cover page or something, I don't know. And then they're like, if you just want 1 point, you can like not write anything, you can make all the grammar mistakes in the world, you can talk to the teacher like it's your friend, like, oh dude, it was so crazy in that book when everybody was like, whoa, and then I was like, whoa. That is how you will get a 1 on a rubric. So this is kind of like a rubric for us, because we're able to look and say, where am I at with my testimony? Where do I have a good testimony? So if I were put on trial for being a Christian, and the people in my church, the people that know me as a Christian, that look and say, that person is a Christian, if they were brought into the courtroom to give a testimony, what they say, I am 100% sure that person is a genuine Christian. 100%. And what's interesting about this is sometimes we can have like the Joe Cool mentality. That's what I just called it. I just made that up, but that's what it's called. The Joe Cool mentality, where like you believe God and you think he's awesome, but you don't want to show it. Like, I'm cool, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, baptized, I think baptized, it was cool. And like, you don't want it to change your life. You don't want your excitement for God to be noticed by everybody, because you want to be cool and keep it chill. Keep it real chill and cool. But no, we should be able to be honest, to be ourselves and say, God is incredible and therefore it is transforming my life. And every Christian around us sees it. And every non-Christian around it us sees it and thinks we're crazy. That's why in the passage in verse 12, when it says he has a good testimony from all, why it means that it's those in the church, because people in the world would think he's crazy. And even in the Bible, it says that if you have a good testimony with everybody in the world, like even sinners who are not saved think you're an incredibly awesome person, then you're doing something wrong. Because with the boundaries that we have in our lives as Christians, the commandments, the way we're called to live, we should be making people in the world unhappy because we don't approve of their lifestyle. We aren't going to do the same things they're doing. We're not going to live the same way they're living. And so, if we were put on trial, and this is, like, I want you to really put yourself in this situation. So you're in a courtroom. Someone said this person's a Christian, and you're on trial for being a Christian. And they have to call some witnesses. So they call maybe the person who always sits next to you at church, or the person who sits across the room, or like a person who's like an adult at the church, super involved, whoever it may be. And they're going to go up and they're going to be asked to give a testimony. Is this person a Christian? Do you have good testimony? Ask yourself, do the people around you genuinely believe that you're a Christian? Is your life being transformed by it? Now, it doesn't mean that you say the Christian things and you do the Christian things, but it means that you walk in truth. You desire to obey God, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, even though you mess up sometimes. You desire it. You have a genuine love for the people of God, even though they're sometimes difficult, even though your flesh sometimes gets in the way. Do you imitate what is good? Is that your role model? Is God your role model? Desiring to be more like Him in everything you do? And then is He your standard? Is He what you look to and say, I need to get more deeper and deeper in my walk with God? And if we apply all these things, 100%, we will have a good testimony. No doubt about it. If you genuinely walk in truth, love others, if you have God as your standard and desire every day to be more and more like Him, everybody will know. And everybody, when they come to give an account, that is a Christian, to clarify. Everybody that is a Christian, when they come to give an account, they will know 100% certain that you are a genuine, God-believing person who has experienced God. So, I think Demetrius is a challenge to us. Someone that we should look to and say, I want to be more like him. He's a real person that we can try to be more like. We can follow the example that he set and seek to have a good testimony amongst other believing Christians. So we're going to go into our small group, well, not official small groups, but we're going to break into like organic small groups where you just like pick a leader or a leader picks you and then you like do that. So we'll probably need two girl groups and two guy groups. It looks like it'd be 5 in each girl group, and like, we can honestly do like, yeah, let's do 2 guy groups because we have so many leaders. We'll do 2 guy groups. But we're going to discuss, you know, what is your testimony? Do you have a good testimony? We're also going to discuss normal things, but like school and stuff. Be seeking this out and discuss it in your group. It can kind of be difficult to understand what is a good testimony. What does it mean? But ask your group leaders. Discuss that. Try to figure out, what is a good testimony? Do I have a good testimony? You can ask that. And in your small groups, you can start to be real. Like, honestly, I don't know if you have a good testimony. I mean, I know you like church, but I don't know if you're genuinely passionate about these things. And so we can start to establish that. So let me pray, and then I'll go over what we're going to do in small groups. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that you desire 100% of our surrender, 100% of our devotion. So as we go into our small groups now, Lord, show us more and more how to surrender to you, more and more how to be that family of Christ that you so desire us to be. And show us how we can maintain, how we can establish and maintain a good testimony, just as Demetrius had in his church and in his city, just as Gaius had in his church and in that city. So we pray that that would happen in this place tonight. We love you so much, Father. We pray this in your name. Amen. So for small groups, because we don't have...